Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It's January. Not a dark day in all reality, but the truth is, this is the time of the year where people get a little bit depressed many times. People kind of, even in the family of God, take their eyes off of God. Our troubles sometimes become bigger than life. We make mountains out of molehills. We invent enemies at the gate, and we're anxious about them. We have enough enemies that are reality, we don't need to invent them. And the fact is this, as a child of God, we are more than conquerors. The book of Philemon, the reason I think that God led me to this passage, to this little book here this morning, is to encourage children of God, people that are born again and are getting weighed down with the cares of life. You heard a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school and what to do with those anxieties. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message on how to get your prayers answered. Very practical. God will hear your prayers. God will answer your prayers in your home. Prayers that you pray at your living room sofa or at your kitchen table or at your bed. God will hear your prayers. You come tonight, you hear about that. But we live in a world of darkness and there's difficulty all around us. And I want to encourage you this morning out of the book of Philemon. Shortest of Paul's epistles, the letters that he wrote. Philemon is a man of the church, a faithful man. I believe the pastor of the church at Colossae. Onesimus is the man that this book is about, and he was a servant to Philemon, to the household of Philemon, and he robbed him and he ran away. I'm thinking about this morning, even when I was praying this morning. I have failed God more than I have succeeded in serving him. That's my life. This is your pastor. I am a broken man. I'm talking about little things. I'm talking about heart attitudes. I'm talking about having a mature Bible worldview. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm looking back, and the thought just occurred to me while I was praying this morning. I think, I've failed you more than I've succeeded as far as numbers of things. So here is Onesimus, a runaway, worthless slave. And I would tell you this morning, there are 7 billion runaways in the world today. People that are running from God at one level or another. And we, in ourselves, we are worthless. And in ourselves, we are not faithful. In ourselves, we, like the Apostle Paul, he referred to himself as a wretch. But I want to encourage you this morning. So nobody needs to get kicked in the teeth this morning. We all understand that is where we are. We don't need to invent enemies. There are those that are opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are out there. And some of them are in high and powerful places. And some of them maybe just live right across the street. Some of them are enemies to the cross, and they don't even recognize it. They don't even know it. They're just living their life. Unborn, not born again, unsaved. And we don't need to invent enemies. So my mom had a rough day one day this week, and we were all real concerned, and I was at the hospital and a sleepless night, and I finally got to bed and I fell asleep. Sometimes I go to sleep listening to Fox News or something. We got a TV in our bedroom. I don't want to confess that to everybody, but I got one there, you know. So I fell asleep. Before I fell asleep, the TV was on, and I woke up in the middle of the night. Now, I sleep with my bedroom window open. I like a cold room. And all summer long, I hear what's going on at the prison. You know, if an announcement is made in the yard, if I happen to be in my bedroom, I hear it. During the night, if they run some drill and they set off sirens, I hear it, man. It's just like it's outside my window. Well, I go to sleep, and I'm in la-la land, right between slumber and a deep sleep. And I'm laying there, and I hear sirens. Ooh, and pretty soon, it's 2 or 3 of them going, ooh, and I hear shouting. I'm thinking, oh, man, something's going on at the prison. God bless our men. I'm kind of asleep. God bless our men that are working at the prison right now. Please protect them over there. And I name some of them. They go, ooh. and it's getting worse and it's getting louder. Where's my gun? Where's my gun? Okay, I know where the gun is. Okay, just in case. And I think I'm awake, but I'm not quite awake. It's one of those deals. And I say out loud, "Debbie, something's going on at the prison." Ooh, and she said, she rolled over and said in my face, "Turn off the TV, stupid. It's on the screen." It's an old Jimmy Cagney prison show that's on. She no sooner says that, and there's gunfire. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm thinking, you know. And it's a good thing she woke me up prior to that. We invent enemies. Sometimes as children of God, we kind of tiptoe through life. Oh, they're probably against me over there. And oh, they're probably against me over there. And that's not true. That is not true. Many people are just looking for the truth. Man, they want you to be real. Don't look at the persona of a man. He's gruff and he's rugged looking. He's got an old greasy baseball cap on. And you think, man, well, he's probably anti-church or anti-God. And he just doesn't know any better. Don't think that for a moment. Because inside the heart of that man might be someone yearning for the truth. Looking for something that's real. Same thing with people from all walks of life. You understand that. I'm going to say something very profound. Before I say it, I want to read some verses. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. So we know that Philemon was a man of high character, and we know that the Apostle Paul had a tremendous prayer life. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. You need to have a love for God that cannot be affected by any outward circumstances. This man had a love for God that he is writing this letter to, and it was real. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. You ought to love life too. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Here's what I want to say, and it's profound. And I want to say it over and over again. I'll be saying it for weeks in different events. Because too many people just, they're kind of skipping through life and you don't understand. God is real. He is real. He's not a Sunday morning kind of thing where you just sing about him at church. He's not just a word of grace and giving of thanks at the dinner table. God is real. You're carrying a big burden. You're carrying a real heartache. There are difficulties in your life. You need to know this morning that God is real. He'll hear your prayers. He'll answer your prayers. He's providing for you every step of the way. Let's go back here to Philemon again. Verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee to that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is a wonderful truth. I want us to go over to Ephesians and chapter 1 and verse 4. I'll make a quick point here and we're going to move on. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's where I need to get to. That's what I need to grow into. But he has chosen us. You need to understand Jesus chose you. This foreknowledge is not forecause. It's not predestination, a fatalism kind of thing, a false doctrine where God chooses certain people for heaven and certain people for hell. But God in his great knowledge, his omniscience, his foreknowledge. You understand, he chose you. You need to also understand this. He's chosen everybody in the world. He wants everybody born again. You get born again, then you're predestinated to be conformed into the image of Christ. We're as good as in heaven. Once you get saved, you're as good as in heaven. You're going to be like Jesus one day. And that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Understand this morning. God is real. He is real. He is not a television program. He's not some fancy preacher wearing $1,000 suit. He's not in a big city somewhere. He is real. Man's messed everything up, but there's a God in heaven that is real, is reality. Number two, He has chosen you. He loves you. He gave His very best for you. He gave His only begotten Son for you. When I was praying right here this morning, on my knees, God, I know I've failed You more than I've been faithful to You. And it just hit me. Without Christ, I'm a failure. Without Christ, I'm a nobody. But here's the good news. God knows who you are. And God is real. And He's chosen you. You're not garbage. You're not a second-class citizen for heaven. He has chosen you. This generation, the next the younger generation, the older generation, we've all gone through our difficulties. Nobody here is garbage. You're so important to God. God's Son visited this earth and lived for 33 years. God the Father said goodbye to His only begotten Son, knowing and sent Him to earth, knowing what man would do to His Son. And He lived here without sin. And He was nailed to a tree, and He shed His blood that we might have eternal life. Verse 10 says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Jesus forgave me. Onesimus gets saved somehow in his travels. He runs into Paul in Rome. Paul writes a letter to Philemon saying, I'm sending Onesimus home. He's a new man. Let me read the next verse. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That Greek word for unprofitable actually means useless. He was a worthless man. Couldn't trust him. Full of self. And doing his own thing. He was useless to Philemon. As a matter of fact, I don't know this is the case, but perhaps when he ran, Philemon said, good riddance. He's more trouble than he's worth. My standing before God. It's me again, Lord. I did it again. Would You forgive me again? Truly, I'm more trouble than I'm worth. But God loves me. Onesimus was worthless. He was unprofitable. But now he is profitable. This is a rags to riches story. This is a story of a pauper, from pauper to child of the King. Onesimus becomes a new man in Christ. Onesimus was unprofitable. He robbed his master. No moral compass. You know people like this. If you're ministering to people, you pour your life into them and they use you. No moral compass. You think, man, what are they thinking? It's like they don't care about anything or anybody but themselves. And the truth is, we've all been there. And then he fled. There was nothing responsible about him. He was undependable. Man left to himself is a colossal failure. Let's read on. Which in time past was to thee, verse 11, unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. This speaks of tender emotion. It's an idiom, a Hebrew idiom. Paul is saying to Philemon, you receive Onesimus just like you'd receive me. That's exactly how God the Father receives Tim Rader. Just like He receives His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus Christ. Like Paul, who met Onesimus's need, Jesus has met my need. I am a child of the King. I am no longer a spiritual pauper. It is a rags to riches story. You that are in the auditorium or listening to the radio broadcast, who are truly born again, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you understand how good God has been to you. And maybe you should go back to that first point, and in the circumstances of life, you forgot that God is real, that He is reality, that His Son really did come to this earth and really did bleed and die on the cross of Calvary and was taken to the tomb and really did rise again with a physical body on the third day and then ascended on up into heaven. And He really did ordain the New Testament church. And He really did say, I'm going to come again. In the meantime, I have sent the Comforter. I have sent the Holy Spirit. We just read this morning in 1 Peter in chapter 5 in Sunday school, and the key word to 1 Peter is suffering, and it says we're called to it, and in order to get to maturity, in order to get to being settled, in order to becoming somebody in the Lord, we've got to suffer first. That's what the word, not for salvation, but for Christian maturity, and to be settled so that we become a real warrior, a soldier of the cross. And Peter says this, and this is his own words written under inspiration. This is why I wrote you this letter, that you would know that the grace of God is true. Because what happens is, sometimes you get in the battle of life and the fires and the storms and the deep valley, and you maybe question in your mind or in your heart, the devil whispers in your ear and the flesh takes over. I wonder if God is really real. Peter writes that letter, 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, to suffering saints of God, some who have been martyred, some who have lost everything they have, every penny, everything's gone, some whose families have totally rejected them. And he writes them under inspiration and said, yes, He's real. The grace of God is real. Don't listen to the devil. You know this morning. God is real. God loves you. He chose you. Yeah, you're worthless. Yeah, you're unprofitable. So are 7 billion other people on the planet right now in this generation. And Jesus loves every single one of them. The truth is, if 7 billion people repented of their sin and came to Christ, they'd be born again this very day. Jesus, was with His arms open wide, would take every single one of them. He loves us. See, I live back in the end of a gravel road or on a two-track, and I'm up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Only 3% of Michigan lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. How could God? We're up here in snow country. God knows who you are. He knows who your children are. He knows who your parents are. And He loves you. And He'll change you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a promise. He'll change you. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm growing in grace. I'm better off, a world better off than what I would have been without Christ. I may not even be alive right now were it not for Jesus. I know were it not for Jesus, I wouldn't have a home in heaven. I wouldn't have a God who fellowships with me and hears my prayers and answers them. And I want to say this again in light of tonight's message. You might be sitting there thinking, man, I'm glad God saved me, but I don't think He really cares about my prayers. You misunderstand God. God wants to hear your prayers. God will answer your prayers. He just requires a few things in our heart. And I'll share those with you this evening. Let me read on. Verse 11 again says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Remember, Paul's in prison. We are saved to serve. Now Onesimus is a bond slave to Jesus Christ. That's a willing slave to Jesus Christ. But without thy mind would I do nothing. There's some Christian ethics here. That thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. And that's what God wants in our hearts. He wants us to serve Him because we want to serve Him. Bringing the tithe into the church house is not a bill. And if you're going to play accountant with God and play mind games with God and you tithe that way, God bless you. It's going to be a very limited life. I'm not just talking about money. But if you understand that we're to give willingly and of a joyful heart and spirit and try to outgive and outlove and outserve, you'll never do that with God. Never do that with God. Perhaps He therefore has a great promise. You might be here this morning and you've got a wayward son. Maybe he's in a far-off state or a far-off land. And you know he made a profession of faith in Christ. I'm telling you, if he got saved, he'll come home. God will give him every opportunity. Unless he just totally rebels against God, I say he, it's just an illustration. If they're truly born again, they can't outrun God. You say, oh, they're involved, they'll never outpace him. No how, no way. It's a promise. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. Oh, and by the way, you maybe have some relationship that's gone foul, and it's someone that isn't born again. They can get saved. They can get right. They'll become a brother. He said, not now as a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord, from slave to brother, rags to riches. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. It's paid in full. Whatever he stole, over the years, whatever he was pilfering or taking, I'll pay for it. That's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did for me and for you. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful God we serve. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest me even thine own self besides. Jesus makes a way for you and for I. He paid my debt. He said, Father, put it on my account. Little homey illustration. I could think of the year. It would have been the late 60s, probably 1971 in reality. 72, got my driver's license. And I'm a big shot now. I'm going to take my dad's truck because he gave me an assignment before he went to work to go to Ray's Feed Mill in Bark River, Michigan and get some chop for, was that for the cows or the pigs? I don't even remember which. May have been both. It wasn't way. We fed way to the pigs, so it probably was for the cows, all right? So anyway, go get, but Dad, I don't got any money. And I'll never forget this. It made me feel so important. He said, you just tell them to put it on my account. I walked into Ray's Feed Mill, said, I'm Tim Rader. I need to pick up some bags of chop. And he said, how do you want to pay for that? I said, put it on my dad's account. He said, okay, fine. Wrote it out. I signed it. As far as I was concerned, it was paid in full. My sin, Jesus said, put it on my account, Father. I paid for that man's sin. I bled for that man's sin, and I died for that man's sin. And Father, I conquered the grave for that man's sin. That's the gospel. Jesus said, put it on my account. Paul said, put it on my account. Just one more thing. Look at verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. I'll stop right there. Jesus sustains me. He meets my every need. Like Paul met Onesimus' need. Jesus meets my need. The food that I eat, the air that I breathe, the clothes that I wear, it's all from the hand of God. I want to remind you this morning how much God loves you. I want to remind you this January morning that God is real. You're born again, He's accepted you. You may be worthless, but He's accepted you. Again, I have failed God more than I have succeeded. Talmud 24:7. Talking about where the leather meets the road, where we live every day. Now, I like to believe, and I think so, that I fail Him less than I used to. But we're all a broken people. But we have a God that's real. He's real. If you got on your knees and started praying for things, He'll hear you. He'll meet your daily needs. He loves you. He's chosen you. He's accepted you. Dear child, what a great promise.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.